Service, I introduced the message by referring to a radio program that started in the United States back in 1949, and most of the congregation were around in 1949. I look at this congregation and I'm about 50-50, I think. So we'll see how well some people remember. This particular radio program started in 1949 in the United States and then was taken up as a TV program in 1954. Now I know while television was in England and Europe around that time, TV hadn't arrived in Australia until 1956. But we've got this program in Australia in the days of black and white television. Yes, there were black and white TVs. It was a very monochrome existence in those times. This particular program featured a family from Springfield. Springfield that features in a certain other program at the present time. Yeah. This particular program had a lead character played by Robert Young. Anyone starting to get any ideas yet? Father knows best. Father knows best. The opening scene showed him arriving home and putting his hat on the hat hook just inside the door, and his ever-loving housewife partner would come down the stairs and they would embrace at the bottom of the stairs. Few people realised that was the only way that they could actually meet eye to eye, was if she was a couple of stairs higher than he was. That was the practicality. But the program was called Father Knows Best, and within a half an hour's program, this father would show his infinite wisdom and solve any problem that any member of his family or the community got into. He could solve it all. He had all of the wisdom, and all of the authority was given unto him. In the 1970s, I wish I had such infinite wisdom. When I had kids the same age as his kids were in this program. But you know, when I mentioned Springfield, we can talk about, yes, the other father who lives in the modern day, well, the so-called modern day Springfield. And his name is? He is not so much endowed with the infinite wisdom and authority. What's more, he's the butt of jokes and everything. But when you see the change in those images between the father knows best and Homer, in many ways that mirrors the way in which society has changed and the way that we now look upon authority and people who hold authority. There was a time when, as I commented in my sermon last week and the week before, about you wait till your father gets home, was a fairly common phrase or warning that was issued in the household. Or when you would be walking down the street and you would hear, usually a mother say to the child, if you misbehave, that policeman will have, he'll talk to you. And there was that with marches and sit-ins and civil disobedience. All of those authorities, and I say all of the authorities, were challenged. This was something that I personally experienced in teaching in the 60s and 70s with that change that came through. And we saw a whole lot of different ways of managing communities and society, and different understandings of where authority was and where it had come from. Now, all of that is said as a forerunner to today's gospel reading. It is from the Gospel of Mark. In our pew Bibles, it's page 990. But in the Bible, it's from the Gospel of Mark, it's from chapter 1, and it begins at verse 21. And it talks of Jesus and his disciples visiting Capernaum. Capernaum is in the northern section of the Sea of Galilee. It's the hometown of several of the disciples, of Peter's mother-in-law, and Capernaum still exists today, and you can visit some of the relics and other places that date back to this time. There has actually been a church with a glass floor built over some of the ancient ruins of Capernaum, because during the time of the Crusades it was completely demolished. But now you can see some of those scenes. Let's look at the Bible passage from Mark 1, reading from verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one with authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit came out and cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. People were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." So news about Jesus spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The authority that Jesus had was very evident in that circumstance, wasn't it? It was acknowledged by the people. It was acknowledged even in the spiritual realm. However we understand what it meant by that person who was possessed by an evil spirit, however we understand that, we all know that Jesus had control in that circumstance. He had authority. He had power. And for many people, that's the way that we understand that word, authority. We even talk about the authorities of our nation. The authorities that have power within our community. But I wonder if we can truly appreciate what authority means. Is it all about power? Is it all about control? Yes, Jesus had power and control in that circumstance. But Jesus also had knowledge. Jesus knew the way of being able to exercise his authority in that setting. We don't see Jesus being the authoritarian at all times of the gospel passage. We find him as the quiet and peaceful, loving person. We find him as the one who gets righteously angry at times. We see him in a whole range of different circumstances. But here, in this passage, kingdom is authority. So is authority all about power and control? I think not. Because if we reflect on that word, authority, and we go to a similar word with the same base, we get the word author. And we know that our understanding of the word author is the beginning, the foundation. So where was Jesus' foundation in that passage? Well, the people commented at one stage about, what is this? A new teaching with authority. The authority that they recognized that Jesus had was the foundation of his ministry was in God. Because he was unlike the teachers of the law, as mentioned a little earlier, that Jesus was not like as the teachers of the law. They were following a different authority, someone else's authority, albeit from the Torah, from the books of Moses, from the law of Moses, from Scripture. They had their authority through that law. Without that law, they had no authority. And then comes Jesus, who shows a different power base, a different foundation. For his power has come from the author of the law, from the author of creation. And he brings that into the circumstance of that person with the evil spirit. And even the evil spirit recognizes the authority, the creator, the power base that Jesus has. Now, so what does that mean for you and I? Well, firstly, as I said before, it doesn't matter what we understand or how we understand this person with an evil spirit. It doesn't matter how or whether we can understand, whether we have experienced in our lifetime someone that is demonically possessed. Personally, I'd say it's one of the most scary experiences that I have encountered in a ministry setting. When you may have one person in front of you, but you are speaking to different people, and in different tones and in different voices, and you do get some of those reflections and some of the movies that we have. But in the real life, it can be pretty scary. If you don't know where your own power, authority is based, and you know Jesus is in control and has control over those circumstances, so it doesn't actually matter how you understand demonic or evil possession. But you know, there are many other examples of people who live lives that are differently controlled. They may be controlled by authority, they may be controlled by a way of life, they may be controlled in a way that's something that we have never experienced ourselves personally. But the challenge always is there for you and I to acknowledge where our authority comes from. When I was appointed to the first parish where I was the priest in charge, I was lovingly and caringly taken to the side by a couple of retired priests that lived and worked in that parish. They took me aside at different times. They didn't do a combined effort. Both of them said the same thing. That in starting my ministry as priest in charge, I had made a grievous mistake. And I said, what was that? And both of them said, you had not demanded your title. Through your title comes your authority. My response to both of them was the same. And it's a response that Christine and I have lived by and through in our ministries over the years, and that is that any authority or any power that we may have within a worshiping community, it will be gained by mutual respect. It will be gained by a way of life, never a demand. And I think we have encountered those people, have we not, from time to time, that they insist or they demand something and they believe that's their authority. And it's because of their position in life that gives them that authority. Well, might I say, and I mean this caringly, that some of those priests of past eras who have lived in the time of Father Knows Best have given advice like under system. But it just hasn't been real. And it hasn't suited the lifestyle of people today. Ministry, teaching, like virtually any position of authority today, doesn't not come through relationship, doesn't not come through knowledge. And for the Christian, that means from our foundation, Christ. Christ is that cornerstone. That cornerstone referred to in the book of Psalms, but also in the New Testament, that Christ is our cornerstone, foundational place. That's where our authority comes from. But how are we to use our authority in today's society? Well, in the shadow of Australia Day, I could branch off and talk about tall poppy syndrome. How the tall poppies in today's society, Australians love to cut them down. Men, might I say, deserve to be brought down to earth. But for you and I, as Christians, our authority comes from Christ, comes from God, comes from the Holy Spirit that is evidenced in our life and in our way of relating to people. Our authority also comes from Scripture. If you can't find it in Scripture, it's probably not too good to do it. It also comes from an acknowledgement of the tradition in which we worship. And while we may worship in different ways in our parish, we still have that underlying tradition. And again, that's something that gives us an authority in the way that we relate to one another, in the way that we relate to other people. So, okay, we've got authority. What do we do with it? How do we use that authority? Do we buy the passion? Or do we bring Christ into a conversation? Do we confront? Yes, there are times when issues need to be confronted. Do we show the love of Christ? I believe in all things. And sometimes that's tough love. Look at the way that Jesus shared tough love in the gospel stories. So, our authority comes to us. That we must use that authority appropriately and in a way that Jesus would. He confronted that evil spirit directly because that was the appropriate behaviour there. Other times he drew alongside and he talked and he shared his message in a way that brought about change. So today, as we think about authority, you all have authority. You all have trust, the love of Christ in your heart, the will of God in your mind, and the intention of the Holy Spirit to go forward. May we use that authority in the way that Christ does.